If you could gather your attention back to the front, and if you could turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. It's found, reading's found on page 1083 of the church Bibles, and we'll be reading verse 1 to 17. Let's hear God's word together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we come to your word, that you would fill us with your spirit to understand it, that you would help us see why you said it, and that you'd help us take it to heart and put it into practice. Father, give us strength not to just ignore what this is saying, but to obey you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had any life-changing advice? Something that changed the way you see things completely? Has anyone given you a parting word of wisdom that really made a difference and helped you live a better life, making things easier, or giving you more success or fulfillment? This is kind of what this passage is about. Jesus, in one of his last moments with his disciples, delivers them a carefully thought-through message, something for them to shape their lives around, to hold dearly, and to keep with them, advice that would help sustain them through the troubling times that were to come. Jesus gives this advice on the night he is betrayed. So he has got his death in mind, and this is one of the last things he says to his disciples before he then goes to his death. This is very important advice, something that he wants them to remember. In a nutshell, the advice that he gives is this: to remain in his wonderful love by loving each other. To remain in his wonderful love by loving each other. As we look through this passage in John 15, we will see that this advice is split into four parts, and you can follow along on the right side of the bulletin. The first point is we have a choice to remain in the vine. Jesus sets up his metaphor and says that we have a choice to obey his advice or to ignore it. He then expands on the beauty of the vine, telling us why we have to choose it, because it's such a beautiful thing to remain in the vine. He explains the intimacy that comes from remaining in the vine and finishes off, once he's convinced his disciples to remain in the vine, by telling them the way to remain in the vine. So the choice to remain in the vine, beauty of remaining in the vine, the intimacy of remaining in the vine, and the way to remain in the vine. Firstly, the choice to remain. With every piece of advice, we have two options. We can take it or leave it. Some advice has very little consequence. If you ignored the advice of a friend who said, "I don't think ketchup would go well with that Eton mess," it wouldn't be a big deal. You'd probably learn some new facial expressions and look a bit embarrassed for a while, but it's not a big deal if you ignore that advice. Ignoring more weighty advice has a more weighty consequence. For advice, we need to know whether what the consequence is. What happens if we take it? What happens if we don't? So Jesus starts his advice by setting up this vine metaphor and then explaining what happens if you don't take his advice. What do you lose if you don't take his advice? And what do you gain if you take his advice? So, starting off in verse 1, he describes himself as a true vine. This is the essential start of the metaphor. If you miss that Jesus is the vine, the rest doesn't make sense. But anyway, he then describes God as the Father, as the gardener. He explains the work of his Father, the gardener, who goes around inspecting the branches, cutting off those who are not fruitful, and pruning the ones who have fruit so that they will be more fruitful. He then, in verse 3, reassures his disciples that they are clean. This is unusual. Possibly this is just to reassure the disciples who are starting to worry, am I going to get cut off? It's a very useful point for us. It's the Father who checks the branches, and he doesn't check them according to whether they are clean or not clean. He checks them according to whether they are fruitful or not. The cutting off is not described as a cutting off due to sin. It is a cutting off due to fruitfulness. This is an important difference. The rest of this passage does not therefore deal with how we are to be cleansed from sin, or else there would be no point of Jesus saying this to the disciples. The story would end here. He says to the disciples, if it was about sin, he would say to the disciples, this is how you avoid sin, but it's okay, you're already clean. And they would stop listening because there's no point. But this is not about sin. This is about how fruitful the branches are. Another thing to note is that Jesus is saying this to his 11 disciples. Judas has already left the room, so these are the clean disciples. And this advice is not about sin, it's on how to remain connected, and so how to bear fruit. This advice is primarily, therefore, for those who are Christians, for those who know they have been cleansed by Jesus' sacrifice and who want to go and bear fruit. So this is his advice. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. And now he outlines the consequences of ignoring it. He explains how much like a branch unattached to a vine, there is no hope for the disciples to do anything without him. There's nothing they can do. The consequence of ignoring his advice is that they will be like a fountain without a source of water. Or one of the crazy inventions I've seen on YouTube. So on YouTube, there seems to be a competition to try and come up with the most pointless video. And as part of this, there's the most pointless machine. So I quite enjoy watching these. So one of them starts off with this little machine next to the wall. It's plugged in, and then a hand comes and switches it on. So it whirs into life and starts spinning round and round. The gears spin round, the gears then drive the wheels, and the little thing inches forward, and then suddenly the power cable comes taut, pulls out, and it stops. That's it. It's pointless. That's how pointless it is to be a disciple that is not connected to the vine. There's no point. You can't do anything. You've unplugged yourself from the source of all life. If you thought this was bad, he then says it's even worse. In verse 6, not only have they taken themselves off from the source of what their fruit will be, but those who don't remain in Jesus are likened to a branch that gets thrown out, shrivels up, and then is destroyed by fire. This is a graphic picture. It's very grim consequences for those who ignore the advice of remaining in him. On the other hand, on the flip side, for those who do take the advice, for those who choose to remain, There is so much more. Look at down at verse 7 and 8. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. These are the benefits of taking the advice. Remaining in Jesus is a truly wonderful thing to do. Plugged into Jesus, we have all we need to do what we were designed to do. We get access to whatever we wish through prayer so that we may bear fruit. We become more than just a fruitless branch or a silly robot that just unplugs itself. In case you aren't convinced that it's worth remaining in the vine, there's more. Jesus spends the rest of this passage telling them about the benefits of remaining in the vine. When it sounds like he's repeating himself, we must look more closely. Instead of thinking of Jesus' words repeating itself like a circle that just goes round and round to the same point, I want you to think of it as a spiral. When it looks like he's come back to the same point again, he's actually gone a layer in. So each time he comes back to the same point, he's added something more. There are subtle differences in each repetition. So when you see the same point again, don't zone out, but concentrate harder, because that's when Jesus is saying something new. That's when we're getting closer to the middle of the spiral. So the next layer in is the beauty of remaining in the vine. In verse 9, we see the repetition of the command to remain, but there's a difference. The same command to remain is there, but instead of remain in me, it's remain in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain in my love, is what it says. To remain in Jesus is not simply escaping the gardener's gaze, avoiding being cut off, by fulfilling some arbitrary quota. Make sure you've ticked the right boxes so that the scary gardener doesn't come and find you unworthy. To remain in Jesus is much more than that. You're remaining in the vine, in the love that comes from the Father, which then flows through him. As the Father loves the Son, so Jesus in the same way loves us. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. The love flows from the Father through the Son, and this same love flows to us, the branches. My friends, this is a truly wonderful love, to be loved by the same love that the Father has for Jesus. Not only is remaining in this love beautiful, but also how we remain. This is also one of the beauties of remaining in the vine. How to remain was hinted at in verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. It is then revealed to a greater extent here in verse 10, which says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. That's about keeping Jesus' commands. But notice, it's not only the love that flows from the Father through the Son to us, but also our response. That also goes through the vine. We obey because Jesus obeyed his Father. The Son remains in his Father's love by obeying him, and we remain in the Son's love by obeying him. This is a beautiful thing. Obedience is a dirty word in our culture. We don't like it. But this is not the same as that. In our minds, often when we hear the word obedience, we think of tyrannical rulers or institutions that condemn people and punish them with completely disproportionate punishments. In obeying Jesus, it's not the same. We're not just bowing to his authority, which is a necessary discomfort that we must bear. We're not just afraid of his authority and therefore obeying. Jesus doesn't love God out of detached fear. He doesn't obey God out of detached fear. He obeys him out of love, and that is what we do. We obey Jesus not because we are afraid of him, but because we love him, and we're afraid of breaking this relationship and not remaining in him. The obedience is not like my approach to practicing the piano, which is begrudgingly sitting in the room with the piano and saying, okay, I'm gonna practice something. Maybe I'll do a scale, and I look out the window for a while, and I don't really want to be there. By the time the time's over, I can write it in my book proudly and show it to my teacher and say, look, I've practiced. It's not that. That is obedience because you're afraid of authority. That is not obeying because you love the relationship. So obedience is a joyful thing. How then do we obey? Well, how the disciples are to obey is explained in verse 12. The way we remain in this beautiful love, the way we obey, is by taking the very love that we have received and showing it to others. This love, which is the greatest love, is demonstrated by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Verse 13 points forward to this. Even though the disciples don't really know what's coming, Jesus' death is just around the corner, and his greatest love that he's about to show them is the love that we then have to show other people. So the beauty of this love is not only do we receive love from the Son in the way that the Son received it from the Father, the beauty is that this love doesn't stop here, but this love must flow out of us. This is the love that we must show other people in obedience. So love flows up through the vine from the Father to the Son and to us, and obedience comes from us to the Son and the Son to the Father. This is the beauty of remaining in the vine. It is filled and flows with this love that connects us with a beautiful love between the members of the Trinity, between the Father and the Son. We are connected into this amazing love. My friends, this is wonderful. Think about this beauty. Moving on, in the next three verses, there is a deviation from the vine metaphor. We spiral in another layer, and there's a repetition of certain phrases that have come before. But there is one significant difference. There is a new intimacy revealed. We have moved to the intimacy of remaining in the vine. We are no longer branches. Look at verse 13. We are now his friends if we do what he commands. As we've said before, it's not a blind obedience to the law, hoping that somehow if we follow these strange rules that we will appease God. Now we have been called friends of God because we know his purposes, we know his plans. Jesus has taught his disciples everything that he was meant to teach them, everything he was given them from his Father. They have this knowledge of the Father that has been given to them, this intimate knowledge of him. They are no longer the fishermen leaving their earthly father's nets to learn from a rabbi. Now they have been taught. They are trained fishers of men. They know the purposes of their Father to go out and win souls for him and to bring them into his love. They understand their new role under their new Father in heaven, not their earthly fathers. In fact, when they had left their nets, it was not them who had made the decision to follow Jesus. It was Jesus who had chosen them. See verse 16. He reminds them that he has chosen them as an encouragement. He has chosen them for a reason, for a purpose, to bear lasting fruit, and to be bearers of an immense privilege, the privilege that whatever they ask in his name, the Father will give them. This is the intimacy of remaining in the vine. It's a great intimacy, the intimacy of being able to ask the Father whatever we wish, of being called friends of God, and of bearing fruit. And this intimacy is ours if we obey Jesus' command. What is his command? It's simple. Look at verse 17. Love each other. This advice given on the night that Jesus was betrayed was not just for the disciples. It was given as lasting advice. It applies to us as well. It's not just the disciples who remain in Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and the Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." It's inclusive. Chapter 17, verse 26, Jesus prays that God's love would be in, these are the people who believe the message of disciples, that God's love would be in them and that Jesus himself would be in them. This message is not just for the disciples. This is for us. So take this advice on board. Are you weary? There is a life of love flowing through the vine. Are you longing for more? There is so much intimacy in the vine. Are you pushing hard and trying to bear fruit? You will achieve nothing if you're not connected to the vine and remaining in it. If any of you are not yet convinced of the claims of Jesus, look around at the love that flows from his followers and ask yourself, is this normal? Is this a love that lays down its life for its friends? And if it is, then think about it. Where has it come from? Christians, if you're not trying to love this like this, if you're not trying to love in a way that is self-sacrificial, that lays down your life for your friends, you are the ones who are missing out. Because you're missing out on remaining in the wonderful love of the vine. So my friends, whatever you may be feeling, may Jesus' advice ring strong in your ears. Not a feeble advice that may or may not be useful, that's inconsequential, but this is important, weighty advice. Take it to heart, and the beauty and intimacy of remaining in the vine are yours. As I end now, I will leave you with this advice that I need to be reminded of so much myself. Please, my dear friends, please take Jesus' words to heart. Remain in him. To do this, you must love each other.
Some great encouragements there and some great challenges as well. So let's just take a second and think about what we've heard and what God is saying to us through his word, and then I'll pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that by your Spirit you would take the words that you spoke to your disciples then and to us now, that you would drive them into our hearts with power, so that we will be transformed into people who are connected to the Father through you, and people who love each other and remain in your love. Amen.